1 Samuel chapter 17, if you find your place, stand with me as we read the Word of God together. We're going to begin reading in verse 33 and read through verse 36. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33 through 36. Here's what the Scripture says. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. And I pray that you speak to us now and help us to learn some things, Lord, from this key man in the Scripture, King David. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Killing a lion and a bear while tending his father's sheep. We're going to look at this first thing here, this circumstance that happened to David, and learn some things from this. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And when David first comes on the scene, he doesn't obviously come on the scene as King David. He's just a young man named David. And one thing that you find in David's life is that he had a task assigned to him, and that was the fact that he was tending his father's sheep. And so the first thing we see tonight is that God tested David to see if he would obey his earthly father. Okay? And so the first job, the first thing he had assigned to him. And from a youth up until where we meet him, when Samuel comes to begin to anoint the next king of Israel, is the fact that he was tending his father's sheep and he was obeying his earthly father. And I just want to talk a little bit about this tonight and look at the circumstances here and see some things that ought to help us. First of all, I want you to see here that this was an assigned job, an assigned job. His father told David, he says, of course, at what age? I'm sure we know that when he was first anointed king, he was just a young man. And a lot of folks think when he killed Goliath, he was somewhere between 15 and 18 years of old. We don't know exactly for sure, but we know he's a young man. And so as a young man, he was assigned a job to take care of his father's sheep. Now, let me say this. That involved obedience. It involved obedience. I don't know how old David was. Maybe he was 12. Maybe he was 10. Maybe he was 13, 14. More than likely, we know he was at least around 12 years of age. Because if you study the Scripture, the Jewish custom was that when a young man becomes 12 years old, he transitioned from childhood to adulthood in the eyes of his parents. And he was begin working on a trade or begin working toward a life's something he was going to work to. So he could have been around 12. Either way, his father came to him and assigned him a task that he had to do. And David had to choose to obey his father. Let me say this. God will not trust future grander responsibilities of someone who cannot be trusted to faithfully carry out the wishes of his parents. Young people, did you hear what I said? You young people, you want, and I hope you do. I pray that God, you have a desire for God to use you one of these days. By the way, you ought to. Amen. Growing up in a church like this having parents that bring you to church, as Brother Putman said this morning, hey, there's more to life than just we're here for ourselves. Amen. All right. The philosophy is he who dies with the most toys wins. Listen, that's not a Bible philosophy. All right. And you young people, God is bringing you up and Lord willing to want to use you one of these days. Let me say, if you want God to use you then, you better be obeying now. Amen. And young people, you need to learn to obey your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And really, if you look through the Scripture, the only Bible command you see to children is for them to learn to obey their mom and dad. Amen? So you know what that means, kids? You need to obey your parents. Parents, you know what that means? It means it's our job to teach them to obey. Amen? And to make sure they learn to obey. By the way, the Bible gave you a great teaching tool for that. The book of Proverbs. It's called the rod. Amen. All right, it's called the rod. And as parents, don't fall for this hellish, wicked philosophy of the day that you're beating your children if you spank them. All right. Now, I'm not by any means at all advocating abuse. All right. I'm not advocating that. I don't believe that's right to do. But let me say this. Spanking is not abuse. And I don't care what the stinking welfare tries to tell you. I don't care what the stinking world tries to tell you. As a parent, you have every right to spank your children properly. Amen. All right. And so it's important, young people, that you learn to obey. It was an assigned job by his father. Not only that, we see here that when David watched these sheep, the sheep belonged to somebody else. Well, every time you read about it, you know how it describes it? It describes it as his father's sheep. They weren't his. He was trusted with the responsibility that belonged, these sheep belonged to somebody else. Let me say this. God will often test our willingness to care for someone else's property before he will trust us with their own. And young people, that's why it's important that you learn to take care of the things that you have in life. All right? You learn to take care of those things. God's going to use that to teach you. And before he can trust you with something else, he's going to trust you with something that belongs to somebody else. And that's what we find here about David. And again, several verses. We could go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 15 through 21. And we see the verses where David's father, Jesse, sent him to check on his older brother in the battle. And as eager as he was to get there, here's what it says. And David rose up early in the morning, listen to this, and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. David just didn't run off, even though his dad told him, go to the battle, check on your brothers. He didn't just drop his stuff and just run for that. No, he made sure what he had been trusted with was taken care of. That speaks of responsibility. That takes care of the fact that he understood that those sheep had to be cared for and they were his father's. Okay? We see a contrast in the scripture to another young man who is the exact opposite of David. And for sake of time, we won't go there tonight. But if we go to Luke chapter 15, we could read about a son who, instead of trusting the things that his father had given him, he wasted the things his father had given him. It's called the prodigal son. And by the way, we know how that worked out, right? Okay, we know where that got him. We don't see him sitting on a throne in the future. We see him sitting in the pig pen, eating a husk that the pigs eat because of the fact that he wasted his father's substance. So young people, listen to me. It's important here that we understand that the responsibility, even in youth, that you have to God. Amen? It's very important. I remember when I was a young man. And I probably told you this before. Most of my stories I've told you before, so act like you've never heard them, okay? And part of my job was to help my aunt clean the church. And we cleaned the church on Friday afternoon after the Christian school got out. And we would take us about 2 to 3 hours to clean the church. Let me just say this. When you're about 14 years old, the last thing you want to do as a 14-year-old boy after school on a Friday is clean the church. Okay, I mean, I remember dreading the fact that, oh man, it's Friday afternoon. I want to go do something. I want to go spend the night with somebody. I want to go be with my friends, but got to clean the church first. But I will say this: my parents taught me this, and my aunt, she taught me this because we helped her. Is that taking the job of even cleaning the church? It was important to me. I remember that one particular thing I had to do, all right? It was my job to clean the auditorium. And I remember as a kid, the way we did it, there were certain tasks we did every week, certain tasks we did every other week. And I'm telling you, I don't know what it was, but something inside of me would not let me take shortcuts. Something inside of me I just had to make sure, hey, by the way, you know what? It was the house of the Lord. It ought to have been done right. Amen? But I was taught that, and I remember taking responsibility as that just as a young man. And I'm telling you, God will test you when you're younger so he can trust you when you're older. Amen? He'll test you when you're younger so he can trust you when you're older. So God tested the young man to see if he'd obey his earthly father. And it's very important that we, as young people, you learn to obey. Young people, hear what I said? It's learn to obey. By the way, what's obedience? All right, let me tell you what obedience is. Obedience is doing what you're told when you're told with the right attitude. That's obedience. Okay? So young people, when your parents tell you to do something, all right, you know what ought to come out of your mouth? The first thing ought to come to your mouth? Not this. That shouldn't come out. That shouldn't be what happens. Well, just a minute. Nope, that shouldn't be what happens. Let me tell you how you respond to your mom and dad when they tell you to do something. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And you do exactly what you're told. Amen? What you're told, when you're told. Not on your timetable, on their timetable. Okay? Not on your timetable. Alright? If you say, well, I'll be there in a minute, that's not obedience. Okay? And with the right attitude. Now, you may do what they say, and you might do it when they say it, but if you're rolling your eyes and huffing and puffing, listen, that's not obedience. Amen? You need to learn to obey. Parents demand that type of obedience, all right? And we see that in the life of young David. Not only that, let me say this. God used the simple job to develop his skills that he would need in the future. Let me tell you why it's important that they learn to do these things as young people. Because God is developing them into the person that one day they're going to be. You say, well, what's the big deal? He's just taking care of a bunch of stupid sheep. I mean, that's really not that big of a deal. Well, you know what you find? All through David's life, especially through Psalms, when he bears his heart, you know what you see? Things that he learned as a young man tending the sheep. A lot of things David learned from that. We see through this job, this skill, he learned the ability to lead. The ability to lead. David had no idea that God was going to come and anoint him to be the future king of Israel. He had no idea until Samuel came and anointed him. He didn't have a clue what God was going to use him for. But yet God was developing these skills in his life. Think about it. You know what a shepherd? A shepherd does not drive sheep. You know what he does? He leads them. Okay? And David learned that lesson as a young man. The leadership skills that he would use in being the future king, think about it, were honed as a teenage shepherd. Okay? And those skills he was learning, the ability to lead. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? Whether or not God calls you to ministry or not, there's still, you know what? God calls you to lead. I mean, men, whether you are a pastor or whether you're another profession, you're still going to have to lead. More than likely, God will have other men underneath you. And more than likely, for sure, God will probably, if God gives you a family, you'll have to lead your family. Ladies, there's leadership positions for you. I mean, taking care of your home, maybe teaching a Sunday school class or whatever capacity God wants to use you in. So it's important that you learn the lessons in your youth, the ability to lead. Not only that, we see the willingness, think about this, to put the needs of the flock above his own personal desires. Think about what his job was. His job was to care for the sheep. That meant that his comfort, his desires, his wants all came second. Now, I guarantee you, it wasn't 72 degree perfect weather out on the hillside there where David was watching the sheep. Okay? I guarantee you there were some cold nights. I guarantee you there were some hot days. But yet, that didn't matter. The sheep had to be taken care of, and David had to have a willingness to put the needs of the flock above his own personal desires. Let me tell you what's killing the Church of Jesus Christ in 2018. Selfishness. Selfishness is killing the Church of Jesus Christ. By the way, the devil knows it. If there's one thing we as Americans are, it's stinking selfish. It's our life. It's our time. It's our money. It's this. It's that. No, it's God's.
Amen.
Amen? We're just stewards of the things God gives us. And I'm sick and tired of Christians always talking about this and that. And they don't want to put God first. Listen to me, folks. We got to put God the number one priority in our life. Amen? And I'm telling you, you may not believe it, you may not live by it, but I'm telling you, one of these days you're going to stand and give an account, and God's going to want to know why you didn't put Him first in your life. Now, nobody's perfect, amen? All right, none of us bat 1,000, but let me just say this. As a Christian, God ought to be the focal point, God ought to be number one, and everything else comes after that, amen? By the way, I ain't even talking about, you ready? Put your seatbelts on. Guess what? Your family's not number one. Family first. No, God first.
Amen.
God first. Amen. You know what Jesus said? When people would come to Him and they'd ask Him about being a disciple, here's what Jesus would say. He said, you know what? I'll tell you what. You want to be my disciple? You got to hate your father and mother if you're going to be my disciple. Now, what was He teaching there? Was He teaching the fact that to hate somebody? No, He was teaching the fact that the love you have for Him and the position that He has in your life, everything else is considered as hate because of the desire, the great love you have for Him. That's how much we need to love God. Amen? God ought to be number one. God ought to be first. All right? And so in the lives, the David here shows us by this example that he was willing to put the needs of the flock above his own personal desires. And I'm telling you right now, if you want God to use you, Christian, selfishness cannot be in the equation. It cannot be. Remember what Jesus said? If you don't, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. You got to deny yourself. And by the way, that's hard to do sometimes. But that's the price God demands for Him to be able to use us. And we see that here in the life of David. Not only that, we see the development of his musical skills. The development of his musical skills. Think about it. There was downtime in his job, right? I mean, David obviously had to do certain things to get the sheep where they were supposed to be, but there was a lot of times where those sheep may be sleeping or grazing. And there was time where David had some downtime. So what did he do? Well, I guarantee he didn't pull out his phone and play a game. I guarantee you that's not what was on his agenda, okay? And no, you know what he did? He honed a skill that God would use in his life. And you know what? This music he learned. David was known as the great psalmist of Israel. The great psalmist of it. In fact, the book of Psalms. Now, David didn't author all of those. He authored a lot of those. The Psalms really was Israel's songbook. And every psalm that you read, we might have a tune to all of them, but those were songs that they would sing. And David wrote many of those things, and many of those songs he wrote when he was a young man. Okay? And so David honed that skill that he would later on use for the Lord for his entire life. And again, it's important, young people, that you learn certain skills in your life that you can use for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Particularly, we're talking about music here, and I'm excited to see our young people involved in that. And, you know, I know there's other things that, there's all kinds of things that demand folks' time and that kids can be involved in. But you ought to get involved in something that will be lasting. Amen? Music's a great talent. Music's a great skill that they could learn and use for the Lord. I mean, folks, whether you know it or not, as much as I would love to say this is the case, but you know what? Faith's not going to be around here all the time. Okay? I mean, it's her desire, and it's a godly desire for her to grow up and get married and move away. And, you know, and she's going to be 35 when she does it. But, I mean, you know, but no, seriously. I mean, you know, we don't know the particular timetable, but sometime in the future she's not. So, you know what? Guess what? This church is going to need a piano player. Amen? And I'm thankful that there's other young people learning the skill so that when she is no longer at the church, God calls her away to be with her husband, that someone else can step up in that position and do that. And by the way, whoever that, if it's a young person, if it's one of our young ladies, if they learn that, eventually they're going to probably eventually leave. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. It's important that our young people learn certain skills that they can use for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And David did that when he was out on that hillside. And young people, that's why it's important that you take your youth to learn as much as you can. Amen? To learn as much as you can. And parents, again, challenge your children in this area. Okay? You know what I found out with young people? That young people, we don't give them enough credit. We sell them short. And young people, God has blessed them in their youth with this ability to learn. And by the way, learn a lot more than we think they can. Okay, so parents, challenge your kids in this area and look for different areas of life skill they can learn when they're young. Now, music is one of those. There's many more different talents they can learn. Young men, you need to learn certain things from your dad. Amen? I mean, certain things that you can use for the glory and honor of the Lord one of these days. You never know where you're going to be. You never know how God's going to use you. I challenge you, take your youth and learn certain skills. Amen? And parents, we need to teach them ourselves or get them to other folks that can teach them. But it's a very important thing there. So we see that in the life of David. God was preparing him in this time on the hillside out there, watching the sheep to learn a skill that would help him be a future king. How about this? The attribute, you ready? I'm going to say it, the P word, of patience. The attribute of patience. Listen, every person, especially every young person, must learn the value of patience. Okay, think about it, all right? Watching the sheep wasn't action-packed as much as running around killing Philistines. Okay, right? I mean, come on, you're watching sheep. David had to learn to be, think about it, long-suffering and patient. And you know, a lot of times in life, let me tell you what sin is. Sin is doing the right thing at the wrong time. Okay? And people get themselves in trouble because instead of waiting on the Lord, they decide they're going to take matters in their own hand. They're going to get ahead of God. And let me tell you, most of the time that never works out. All right? You got to learn to be patient, especially as a young person. I know, You think right now, I mean, you think a day is a month, all right? You think a month is a year, and you think a year is forever, right? That's what you think. Let me tell you, it's not. Man, time marked. I can't believe how fast time goes. You're going to blink once, you're going to blink twice. You're going to be in high school. You're going to be graduated. I mean, life's going to... I mean, literally, folks, I'm thinking back in my mind right now to things that seem like happened to me yesterday, and it happened to me 25, 30, 35 years ago. And literally, I can... I mean, I probably my earliest memory was probably I was 3 or 4 years old, somewhere around there. But I think about things that happened to me in my childhood. It just seems like yesterday, but it's been decades. And I'm telling you, life's going to happen. Life's going to go. You got to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Amen? Don't get ahead of God. And again, I'm not going to go through and tell you the story again because I've said it so many times. But even our own church plant here and the way God allowed us to get property, our future property just outside of town. Listen, that never would have happened had we not been patient and waited on the Lord. Amen? So the attribute of patience, learn to wait on the Lord. How about this? The character to do His job absent of direct oversight. Okay? Jesse said, David, go take care of the sheep. All right, by the way, that probably more than likely was a long way from home. All right, now probably in the same property, but I guarantee you it wasn't within eyesight of his father. But yet as a young man, he was entrusted to do something that and make sure he did it right without direct oversight. You know, one of the most important attributes to be developed in your youth is self-motivation. Listen, if you can't work hard without supervision, let me just say this. You are of little value to a future employer. I mean, folks, think about it. We live in an area where we've been blessed economically in this area with an economy. And it's pathetic. It's pathetic that all these employees around here that want to hire people and pay them a decent wage can't get people to work because they can't follow this principle right here. I mean, when the boss isn't watching, they're goofing off. They're being lazy. I mean, over and over again, I hear stories of people having decent jobs in our area, but they keep losing their jobs. Why? Oh, it's always the boss's fault, right? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Listen, the character, they can't do a job right unless they have direct oversight. Listen to me. You got to learn to get past that, young people. Amen? And by the way, and adults, by the way, all right? Yeah. Listen, okay? Well, the Bible gives an illustration here. Proverbs chapter 6. All right, verse 6 and 8. Listen to what the Bible says. Go to the ant. I love God's terminology. Thou sluggard. That's what God says. By the way, He doesn't say, go to the ant, thou labor challenged. That's not what He says. You know, I love God's terminology. God said, if you're lazy, you're a stinking sluggard. That's what God says. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. God says, listen, sluggard, listen, lazy person, learn a lesson from an insect. That ant. Ain't nobody telling it what to do. Ain't nobody going over it, making it do this. If it doesn't prepare, it doesn't eat. He says, you need to learn something from the ant. Amen? And let me just challenge you, as young people and as Christians, have character to do right whether or not someone's watching or not. By the way, let me say this. Someone is always watching. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Whether or not there's human eyes watching, God is always watching. And David, no doubt, used that character trait or developed that character trait while he was out watching his father's sheep. So God used those things in his life. He tested him to see whether or not he was going to obey his earthly father. God used a simple job to develop the skills he would need in the future. Think about this. Man, I like this. God used the isolation of his job to build a personal relationship with David. If there's one thing, probably one of the most important things David learned in his youth was that of the fact of he learned to know God in his youth. Let me just say this, young people. There is a particular time in your life, particularly in your youth, from 12 years old to about 20 years old, where you have a time in life where you can know God in such a way as to where, I'm not saying you'll never not know God that way, but you can get yourself and start yourself off so right in your youth as you build that relationship with God. I remember as a young man, that time frame, from about 12 to 18 to 20 years old. Listen, folks, again, I'm not saying this because I'm some great Christian. I'm just telling you what I experienced as a young man. I'll just say this. When I was a young person, I knew God. I remember going out in the morning time before I'd go to school. By the way, no one made me do this, okay? By the way, I don't think Mom and Dad even knew I did it. All right, I'd get up early, and I remember grabbing a sleeping bag. And I'd take that sleeping bag out to a patch of woods out on the backside of our property, and I'd throw that sleeping bag on the ground. And I remember following that sleeping bag as a teenager, learning to know who God was, developing a walk in a relationship with God. I knew God. And by the way, praise God, I still know Him. Amen? But you know what? God wants you to use you, your youth especially, to build that relationship with Him. And by the way, you know how you got to do it? All right, here's a word that this generation don't like. Isolation. Being alone. Why is it that the devil has created our environment such a way to where people can't stand being without noise, right? I mean, it's crazy. I go knocking doors, talking to people. People aren't even home and their TV's on. I mean, some homes, the TV never shuts off. Let me tell you, you know the best thing you could do is think of, turn off the stupid box. Amen. Turn it off. Put the cell phone on vibrate. Or better yet, turn it off too. Amen? And spend some time every day being alone with God. Being alone with Him. I mean, there's a reason the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. God seeks those who want to know Him in that special way. The great training ground of isolation. Study out our Bible heroes. Where is it that Moses found God at? All right, it wasn't in Egypt. You know where it was at? On the backside of the desert. Where was it Joseph found God at? It was in a pit while his brothers put him there to sold him into slavery. It was even in a prison house for being accused of something he didn't do. Where'd Joshua find God at before they went into Jericho? You see that story of Joshua. He was walking alone at night when the captain of the host of the Lord met him. Where is it all our Bible heroes, as you read their biographies and read them about them in the Word of God? Where do they have encounters with God? It wasn't when they were in the crowd. It wasn't when they were with everybody else. It was when they were alone. Let me challenge you, Chris. You need to embrace some isolation. Why? So you can get to know God. Amen? So you can get to know God. I'm going to probably through this series as we teach it, I'll teach you through a psalm and teach you about David, one aspect of his life, how he developed that relationship. Let me just say this. You know, one of the best times of the day where you can be alone and everything's quiet and you can get to know God a little bit, it's early in the morning. Amen? Early in the morning. I mean, I know a lot of times I'll be up early, and not all the time, but a lot of times I'll even get up so early to where there's not even a lot of traffic going on. And it's just quiet, and nature's still quiet, and people are still quiet, and I can quiet myself and begin to commune with God. Amen? The great training ground of isolation. God seeks those who seek a place away from the world so they can better hear Him. If you read through all the Psalms, you know what you see as David isolated himself? He began to open his eyes to the things that were around him. You know how many times in Psalms David is talking about nature? David's talking about the things in his surroundings. I don't have time to go through them, but there's about 12 to 15 Psalms that where David, you can tell he's in nature, experiencing nature, because he's talking about the different things as they relate to his walk with God. In Psalms chapter 5, he talks about the early morning time. Psalms chapter 8, he talks about the heavens, the moon, the stars. He talks about the animal kingdom. Psalms chapter 19, he talks about the heavens and the firmament. Psalms 23, the green pastures and the still waters. Psalms chapter 24, he talks about the seas and the floods. Psalms 42, this is my favorite, he talks about the deer. Amen? He talks about the deer. Psalms 121, he talks about the hills and the heavens and the earth. Psalms 148 talks about the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fire, the hail, the snow, the vapor, the stormy wind, the mountains, the hills, the trees, the beasts, the cattle, the creeping things, the flying fowl. How did David know about these things? Because he was where they were at. He was alone. He was isolated. And he learned to build a personal relationship with God. Let me just tell you, Christian, if you're going to know God, you got to get alone. Amen. You got to get alone. And then we see the last thing tonight is God, now don't miss this, God used the danger of keeping the sheep to test his courage as a young man. Now let's go back to our original text, all right, back in 1 Samuel chapter 17. All right, I want you to think about this for a minute. All right, here we come. David is a little bit older now, still a young man. And he's getting ready to face Goliath. And we'll talk about this when we get to the story where he faces Goliath. But before he goes to face off with the giant, he meets with the king. All right, think about it. A teenager has a meeting with the king. All right, and he's there. And he has kind of like this nonchalant, calm attitude about it. I mean, let's think about it. Everybody else is freaking out. Okay? Even the great men of war are freaking out. The king is freaking out. Here's David. Oh, I'll go take care of this guy. Saul's like, what? Say what? Oh, I got this. Don't worry, king. I got this. He's like, son, what are you even talking about? And the verses we read tonight, he says, look, I know that I can take care of this Philistine because of what God did in my past. He said, I was out taking care of my father's sheep, and there come a lion, and there come a bear. Now, how crazy you got to be to do this? And I went and I grabbed the lion by its beard and I killed him with my bare hands. Say, what? Yeah, and I delivered the sheep. And by the way, king, I just didn't do that with the lion. I did that with the bear. Now listen, I like watching some hunting videos. I've seen some pretty awesome hunters. I've never seen a hunter ever go up, grab a lion by its mane and kill it with his bare hands. Ever. I mean, who then thinks that way, right? I mean, I'd be scared to hunt a lion with a stinking massive elephant gun. All right, are you kidding me? Barehanded, killing a lion and a bear? But yet, you know what? God used that to test his courage as a young man. We see the attribute of alertness. He had to be aware. He had to know what's going on. He had to be watching. He had to be keeping accounting of those sheep. We see the attribute of courage. Amen? Of courage. Let me tell you something. You say, well, how do I know if I have courage? Well, you have courage not whether or not you're afraid, okay, because we all have a little bit of fear, but it's a matter of whether or not you're willing to obey in despite of your fear. I mean, think about it. I mean, David had to be a little off in the head when he saw the bear, when he saw a lion, and instead of running away, he ran toward it, okay? And by the way, he didn't have a firearm. He had a sling. He had a staff. That's all he had. But yet he ran toward danger, the attribute of courage. Let me tell you, if you're going to be a Christian the way God wants you to be in 2018, you better be courageous. Amen. You got to have some courage to be what God wants you to be. You got to have enough courage to stand against your own flesh. You got to have enough courage to stand against the influence of this wicked world we're living in. You got to have courage to stand against the wiles of the devil. It takes courage to be the Christian God wants you to be. Amen. Courageous. And God used these experiences in his youth so that later on he can go and do greater and mightier things than that. And then we see the God confidence of victory. By the way, when David talked to Saul, told him about the lion and the bear, he wasn't bragging on himself. Let's go back and look at it real quick and we'll close out. Look what he says here. David said, verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one as them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David goes on to talk about his confidence and his faith and trust in God. And David knew something. Because he knew who God was in his youth, and he saw what God did for him in his youth, why would he doubt the fact that God would continue to be with him and to defeat greater enemies? Amen? Let me just tell you, sometimes in your youth, sometimes in that young part of your life, whether it's youth physically, maybe it's youth as a young Christian, all right? God will come to you and He'll do things for you. And by the way, He's doing those things for you so you can prove Him. So when the big battle comes, the real battle comes, you've got the courage to face it. Amen? And listen, that's what we see in the life of this young man named David.